views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and today I want to talk about a part of your life that helps to keep you safe, that connects you with your own resiliency, and clearly tells you when things around you are not aligning with what you believe. Awakening to this part of yourself can help you realign with your overlying purpose, release habits that are holding you back, and become more highly attuned to your inner wisdom. The topic is boundaries, those often ambiguous lines that we draw in the sand. We all have these, but sometimes we forget to be thoughtful about them or even to share them with others. Our boundaries define us. They tell us where we end and another person begins. They give us an idea of what's important to us, what things really rub us the wrong way, and can often shine a light on those areas that we need to grow in. When you're feeling disrespected, unheard, taken for granted, or pushed around, it's typically because a boundary is being disrespected. The problem is, if this is a rather new topic to you and you have been living life on autopilot, then you might not even be aware that this is what is going on. Knowing how to create, recognize, and enforce boundaries is very important to feeling vibrant in any relationship. And you can use this information to help you lead groups, create a strong workplace, coach a team, build strong relationships with significant people in your life, and of course, be a great parent. Raising your kids to be aware of boundaries and, most importantly, understand why they are in place sets them up with critical life skills that they can use to create their own family in later years, not to mention provide them with a foundation for making those really important choices in their life, especially when they're teenagers. Now, that's of course not to say that they won't make any choices that you disapprove of as a result. It's just that they'll have a much better foundation to base those decisions on. And that's always a good thing. So today's show is guiding you to switch off autopilot and give conscious thought to why you do what you do. To tune into whether what you are doing resonates with who you are and who you are becoming, and to give some thought to what you want your kids to learn about keeping themselves safe in this world. So, what is a boundary? Well, as I already mentioned, boundaries determine where we end and another person begins. In fact, unhealthy relationships such as codependency, hyperparenting, or even kind of stalker mentality where you're obsessed with someone are all connected in some way to fuzzy boundaries. Boundaries determine how we treat and look after ourselves. In fact, it is another way to say self-respect when we're talking about personal boundaries, which is why it can feel so awful when you promise yourself something like, I'm not going to ever do this again, or I am going to do that, and then you break that promise to yourself. In a nutshell, boundaries identify the bottom line, the thing that should not be crossed in any group, whether it's your family, community, school, country, whatever. When your boundaries are strong, you feel safer, clear about what you're enforcing and why. This allows you to give off a more confident, resilient vibe, which in turn sets you up to be treated more respectfully by others. Now, having said that, boundaries are also meant to be kind of fluid, changing with you as you grow, not usually in big sweeping ways, although that can happen, but more typically in small and subtle ways. So, for example, let's say a family has a boundary about education being a top priority. As a result, they might have a rule about not staying out late on school nights. So when the kids are little, the parents control who is out when, and they ensure the kids are ready and in bed by, let's say, 8 p.m. As the kids get older, it's likely the bedtime will shift to a later time slot. And then as the kids grow into teenagers, maybe get jobs, start dating, having all that extracurricular activity, the boundary might flex again since the parents are no longer in full control, especially once their kids start driving. Now the rule might be that if you're going to be out later than 10 on a school night, you need to get permission first, and it cannot affect your grades at school. At some point, even that might change from needing permission to a simple, respectful request. Please let me know if you're going to be out later than 10 so it doesn't affect my sleep. Then when the kids are done school, that whole boundary is no longer in effect. So the boundary doesn't really change through all of that until the very end, where probably a work boundary of some sort might be put in place. But the rule around it grows with the kids and shifts from the parents having total ownership to the kids taking on more and more of the responsibility for themselves. So there's lots of other things that would be used to measure up against that boundary and to help everyone in that family put education as a priority, but that's just an example of how one sort of set of rules works with it. Well thought out boundaries will help you to set your rules, to become aware of what you're willing to fight for, and to set clear and consistent consequences. When you consciously create and enforce your boundaries in a healthy, consistent way, you will feel, look, and sound vibrant and powerful. So personal boundaries is where it all begins. When a child is born, his personal boundaries are almost non-existent. He depends on others to feed him, change him, put him to bed, and so on. As he matures, his ability for self-care grows, and with it, his ownership of his personal boundaries. At least, that's the way it's intended to work. There are definitely situations where this model is not followed, sometimes because the child has something getting in the way of his ability to take ownership for himself. But other times, it's because a parent is simply not willing to give up the illusion of control. In truth, deep down, this is often about a parent fearing their child becoming too independent and not really needing them anymore. Now, if you're that kind of parent, you might already be arguing with me in your head, or maybe even out loud, and telling me why this isn't true. You just want to protect them from harm, right? And make sure that they're okay in this dangerous world. And I get that. But I also know that the best way to protect anyone is to support them in learning to look after themselves. The late Dr. Stephen Covey said that the goal of all families is to help the individual shift from being dependent to independent, to the whole unit becoming interdependent. Now, you can't do this when one person insists on making all the decisions and controlling all the players. So if this sounds familiar to you, really tune in to where you might not be allowing your child to become independent and ask yourself what's truly going on for you. Now, in the case where your child has a diagnosis that suggests that he will never be able to achieve independence, a whole different dynamic develops. Suddenly, there can be this sense that what you thought was going to be a temporary task of maybe 18 to 21 years has suddenly been put there as a lifelong project. If this is your situation, I hope you've opened up to the idea of receiving help. Respite, summer camp, school programs, family and friends are all things that you really want to explore, as in how they can help you. You do not need to go this alone, and there is no reason to feel guilty for wanting, needing, and taking some time for yourself. We all benefit when we open ourselves up to receiving, whether it be to a helping hand, a gift, a compliment, whatever. And I truly believe that all moms, and especially those with a child with special needs, must accept this as their right. I'm not suggesting only people with tough situations need help. In reality, we all do. And I am saying it should be non-negotiable for moms in a situation such as this. I also suggest that these parents hear the diagnosis and then throw away the label and continually look at places that their child can possibly grow in. Our medical system tends to have one paintbrush that they use to color everyone in a certain category without allowing for individual ability, uniqueness, environment, and so on. So to me, being a true advocate for your child means allowing them to grow beyond the limits anyone else is trying to place on them. Personal boundaries are extremely important in future relationships and in our own self-care. These are the boundaries that allow us to insist on being treated respectfully. They allow us to say what can and cannot be done to our body. They influence how we treat and look after ourselves and determine how healthy our future intimate relationships will be. So how do you raise a child with healthy personal boundaries? Well, five things to keep in mind are these. First, allow them to make simple choices about things that affect them from very early on. So when they're really young, it might be about food, sleep, clothing, toys. Remember, living an awakened life is about making choices that bring you closer to your truth. So help your child start practicing making good choices right from young. Number two, use mistakes and bumps in life as moments to highlight the learning in a positive way. Now that means you have to watch out for your ego's desire to blame, shame, or ridicule when the bumps seem intentional to you. When this happens, call in your higher self and ask for help. Number three, establish and respect privacy rules for yourself and your child that respect everybody. An example might be a closed bedroom door means knock and wait for an answer before going in. But this also applies to purses, backpacks, cell phones. It's very important that we start rethinking how privacy works and what that means. The fourth thing is to trust, because giving choices is meaningless if you keep nagging, reminding, saving, fixing, correcting, and covering up for your child. So give them a choice, make sure they are making an informed decision, and then trust them to survive as things unfold. The fifth thing, be clear about the boundaries in your home. Explain why they are in place, and then set up rules and consequences that fit with the problem and that you can consistently enforce. So let me share a couple of real life examples from my story. I live in Manitoba, Canada, where body parts can actually freeze, turn black, and fall off or require amputation. Now, in truth, I only know, I think, one or two people that have actually lost body parts to freezing. But I have certainly seen many, many more cases of serious frostbite. So if you come from a warm climate and you have no idea what I'm talking about, think about something in your freezer that has become super freezer burnt and it just looks all dried out. That's kind of what frostbite looks like. Now, I saw this as a safety concern. And in our house, we had a boundary that we will practice safe and healthy behaviors. So I didn't want to just tell my kids what to wear on cold days because I wanted to teach them how to decide for themselves. So I made a point of talking to them about signs that your body's freezing and what you could do to prevent it and how you might dress for different things. As they got older, they were given more and more choice about what to wear outside. Now, on school days, before going out to the bus, if I felt they were underdressed, I would ask them to go outside. We called it outside for five. And just to see if they truly were warm enough. If they could tell that they weren't, they could come right back in and then put on some more clothing. If they felt they were warm enough, I would let them go with what they chose to wear, but only if they could stay outside for about 5 minutes. Now, I wanted them to learn how to think about and assess the weather rather than just wear what I thought they needed to wear. They always ended up actually coming back inside, usually within about 10 to 30 seconds to look for more clothes. So it really wasn't a big deal until my oldest turned around, I don't know, 12 or 13 years old. And he suddenly decided that he was warm enough to be outside with runners, no jacket, nothing on his head, no mittens, despite the fact that it was still cold out. I talked to him about it and he assured me that he felt warm enough. So I wasn't really sure what to do. I mean, my rule to support that boundary was very clear. You must dress warmly enough for the weather. But he said he was, and I felt like I really needed to respect that. So the next day, he came in with hot red ears with these little white spots, which is indicating that his ears are starting to freeze. So I told him, I don't know what's going on, but it appears your personal thermostat is broken. One of my most important jobs as a mom is to help you stay safe. And going outside at this time of year where we live without warm clothing is not safe. As a result, until we figure out how to fix your thermostat, I will have to use mine and the weather forecast to make smart decisions for you. I'll let the school and the bus driver know what we're doing so that they can remind you when I'm not there. I don't like this one bit, and I hope the problem straightens itself out quickly. So please let me know the moment your system starts sending signals like you're shivering, burning ears, tearing eyes, frozen or hurting toes or fingers, because that's a sign that your system is coming back online and it's cause for celebration. It worked. Although I'm sure his frostbitten ears kind of helped. The next day he put on his jacket, his runners, his favorite toque, and gloves. Still not as warm as I would have liked him to dress, but enough to keep him and his body parts from freezing off, and more importantly, still being respectful of his choice. Another boundary example from my home is in regards to work. I work at home most days, which sets me up to be interrupted often by others. Sometimes my husband will take a day off without telling me ahead of time, and suddenly he's home when I have work to do. So when this happens, I have to take an honest look at my schedule, and if there is something important on it, I tell him that I need to work for a certain amount of time and that he needs to be quiet or even go elsewhere while I do it. If he doesn't respect that, I would have to enforce it, but he always does, so it hasn't been an issue. I also, though, have to tell people like my mom or my friends when they call during the day whether or not I can honestly talk right then. Some days I know I have lots of flexibility, and so I'll have a chat just like I might do if I worked in an office on a slow day. But other times, I tell them, you know what, I'm recording a podcast in an hour and I need to finish preparing. Or I might tell them that I have a meeting coming up and we only have a couple minutes to talk. The point is, I need to be clear on my boundary. Unless it's an emergency, work is a priority. So as a result, I get clear on what I need to accomplish each week. And then I loosely set up a work schedule based on that. On a day when I must get something done, I don't answer the phone for social calls, or I answer and I offer to call them right back when I'm done. I ignore all other household chores except walking my dogs because there's just too many health benefits to ignore that one. Plus, I can kind of work while I'm walking. And then I focus on staying really tuned in to the task at hand so that I can get it done. Now, because I'm clear on my week and what needs to get done, I can be clear with others and ask them to respect this. If I don't do that, I end up being frustrated and thinking that other people aren't taking me seriously, when in fact they would if I just spoke up. If someone ignores my request, then I have a choice to not answer the phone during office hours because I do have caller ID, to not reply to texts that aren't work-related, and even to have an assertive conversation with them if they happen to drop by out of the blue and ask them to leave and come back later. The important thing to get from this scenario is I have to decide what's most important to me and then be willing to clearly tell other people what's okay and what's not when they try to overstep my boundary. I'm the one saying my work is important, so I need to be the one to live as if that's true. A common challenge for women especially is being able to clearly identify what they need and then stand up for it without feeling selfish. If you struggle with unclear boundaries, you're in danger of overextending yourself because you won't be able to say no when people ask you to help out with something. On top of that, you won't be able to model healthy boundaries for your children, and even your partner might end up confused about how to best support you. Only you know what you need most in life. So get clear on it, share it, and enforce it. You won't regret it. Now let me give you a few quick steps to help you create, adapt, or review your boundaries if you feel that that needs to happen. Step one, brainstorm what's happening now. Think about what things are most important to you and how you enforce them now. Do you say yes when you wish you could say no? Are you overextended, exhausted, or just not able to get enough things done in a day? Do you often feel ignored, stepped on, or overlooked? Do you do things because you feel you have no choice? These things are all signs that your boundaries are currently fuzzy and in need of some repair. Another warning sign is when you have lots of rules for your kids to follow, but you haphazardly enforce them. If you have young kids, then you might want to start looking at what life skills you feel they are going to need to learn, and then do a very honest evaluation of what you are currently teaching them with your actions. For example, if you think being able to feed yourself is an important life skill, you're going to want to start teaching your child how to give some thought to what goes into a meal from a young age. As they grow, so should the choices and the amount they help with meal preparation. So if you struggle a bit with your family rules, maybe you have too many, maybe you don't have enough, those things all can cause problems. And I've done a podcast about family of origin, which you can check out. It was sometime in 2018. Step two, become aware of your values. Now, quite honestly, step one and step two can interchange. You can do them in whichever order feels best for you because they work together. So you write down your values as a family, as a couple, as an individual, whatever works best for you. More importantly, don't just write down the value, but describe in point form what each value means to you. So for example, if you write down honesty, you might write down, okay, to me that means tell the truth, even if you think it will get you in trouble. Be tactful with other people's feelings. So even though you're being honest, you don't have to be mean about it or brutal. Be true to yourself. Be true about what resonates for you and get to know what you need. So those would be the things I would write down with honesty. If you don't really know your values, then you might want to check out my interview with Dr. John DeMartini back in December 2017 and do his free value assessment on his website. It's really good, and he invites you to go back again and again and redo it to make sure you're still aligned with your values. Step three, create and enforce your boundaries. Choose one of the values, match them up with some of the rules you have from the earlier brainstorm, and then compare your notes with others if you haven't done the whole process together all along. It's important that whatever boundaries you're going to create fit for everyone in the family. So now that's what you're going to do. Create your boundaries from that information. Now remember, boundaries represent what's most important to you and your family, so be sure to choose those that reflect your family values and not just those that society puts out there as important. Okay? Here's three boundaries that I had in my home when my kids were growing up. Number one, we practice safe and healthy behaviors. Number two, we do our best at school and work, making them priorities when needed. And number three, we treat each other respectfully and honestly. So now start thinking about the rules that you have, which of these categories they'd fit under, and the message that rule is sending. Are you teaching your kids how to think, or are you telling them what to think? Is the rule meant to keep them safe and teach them life skills, or to make your life easier? For example, if you say honesty is important and then punish them for telling you what they did wrong the same way you would have if they hadn't told you the truth, your actions are contradicting your words. In other words, you're telling them things will go easier on them and you're actually lying about it. Finally, create some consequences that align with what you are teaching, that you'll be able to enforce consistently and that are reasonable enough that they aren't just creating revengeful thinking for your kids. So quick pointers, keep your boundaries simple, make sure your rules are instructive, and keep them to a minimum, about 3 to 5 of them. This can be a really difficult task if you've never really thought about your values before or even what your actions are teaching your kids. So be sure to keep an open mind, turn on your creativity, and be kind to yourself as you puzzle through it. In summary, boundaries are an important part of your family structure and should be consciously chosen to guide your kids towards living what you consider to be a safe and informed life. Your boundaries will help you to model healthy living to your kids and teach them how to assertively stand up for themselves. And finally, your boundaries can help you create strong relationships with the other adults in your life by knowing your edges and being willing to clearly let others know when they're crossing a line. With much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.